Number of housing code violations Bloomington issues landlords doubled in the 2 years since the city hired a second inspector. The number of violations last year was about 4,500. Normal's code violations have remained steady at about 1,200 per year. Inspectors often give landlords months and longer to fix problems. This raises questions about whether enforcement is adequate for chronic violators. In part three of the series, Landlord v. Tenant, GLT's Judy Valente spends time with inspectors who say their goal is not punishment, but compliance.
On a sunny afternoon, Bloomington housing inspector Gail Price walks up a driveway to a wood-framed home on Southwestern Avenue.
So I am done with my re-inspection, and for the most part, everything is done. There were a couple of small items.
She carries a clipboard with a long list of items she usually checks during rental property inspections, from the working conditions of the plumbing and electrical wiring to the overall structure of the unit, the amount of trash in outdoor bins, and even the amount of foliage.
I don't expect non-compliance. I expect compliance. And, you know, if I have to go back a few more times, to be fair, and if some things don't get done according to my schedule, as long as it's not hurting anybody, I'm more than happy to give people a few extensions to get something done. But at the end of the day, absolutely, we expect compliance.
Price is one of two Bloomington housing inspectors. Until 2014, the city had only one inspector to ensure that more than 12,000 rental units were up to code. With the addition of a second inspector, the number of housing checks more than doubled last year to 894 from 390 in 2013. The number of housing code violations the city has issued also doubled from about 2,200 2 years ago to nearly 4,500 last year. Price says the city focuses mainly on units that have a history of disrepair.
So I speak with the owners and I look at the list of items for repair and I get their input. You know, we kind of work together based on, you know, any factors that might affect a schedule. But we work together and get a compliance date that's reasonable for them and for the city. And when that date comes, we have another reinspection. So we check everything. We don't just make a list and trust they get fixed, we go back.
Inspectors like Price have to strike a balance. They have to hold landlords accountable to keep up rental property, and they need to maintain a stock of affordable housing in a city where low-income rental units are in short supply. Tom Daybriner heads Bloomington's Community Development Office, which oversees housing inspections.
The rental program would not be in place if it wasn't for the city's interest in protecting those who find it hardest to battle the difficult landlords. And in fact, the lowest income tenants, I think, are the ones who are the people we're really trying to help.
Daybriner says the city's main interest is getting landlords to comply with the housing code rather than penalizing them. Compliance rather than punishment is the goal in Normal as well. Greg Trummel oversees Normal's housing inspections program.
The town's philosophy, we're not interested in hauling people to court. Now, there's a place for it, but ordinarily our preference is to try and sort things out between the landlord and the tenant and our program. And historically, I would say we've had pretty good luck.
Landlords receive certain courtesies from both cities. Bloomington and Normal inspectors notify landlords before an inspection takes place.
We provide written notice, you know, so this is not a surprise inspection. We provide ample notice, and then we accompany somebody from that ownership, whether it's a property manager or the owner themselves. We never do an inspection on our own. We're always with somebody who's a representative of that property.
Trummel says on inspection days, landlords sometimes send maintenance workers with toolboxes to a property so they can make repairs on the spot to avoid receiving a citation. Price, who inspects rental housing in Bloomington, says inspectors will work with landlords to an extent.
Every property has its own dynamic. However, we don't let things drag on for a year. That's not reasonable. Some things go on a little longer, maybe because the work can only be done seasonally.
But there are times when violations do continue, and landlords receive multiple opportunities to fix problems. Take the case of a unit at 501 West Market Street owned by Cynthia Shepherd. Shepherd has 50 rental properties in Bloomington. The city has cited her dozens of times in just the past year for code violations. In March of last year, an inspector determined a unit within the Market Street property was, quote, damaged, decayed, and dilapidated structurally, with partial or complete collapse possible. The inspector described the unit as dangerous to the health, life, and safety of the public. The city scheduled a re-inspection of the property in November and found Shepherd had not fixed the problems. 4 months passed. Then, last February, the city issued a petition of contempt against Shepherd. She faced a fine of $950. But on the day the case was to go to trial in circuit court, the city dismissed the contempt petition. Attorney Greg Murdoch represented Bloomington.
This case really arose out of the vacant unit, and its roof was deteriorating, and then there were some interior issues as well with the property.
Murdoch said the city decided to drop its case against Shepherd because she had repaired the most immediate threat to public safety, a sunken roof. She had also received estimates from contractors to repair flooring, framing, and drywall in the unit. The cost of the repairs would total about $17,000.
I felt like she was making a good faith effort to keep renovating this place to bring it up to code.
As a result, the city suspended her $950 fine.
What we'd rather have happen is have that $950 fine, if she has the money, be put in towards the $17,000 bill. So typically what we do is we look to get everything abated first and then enforce our fine.
Most cases involving housing code violations don't make it to circuit court. Bloomington and Normal both rely on administrative courts. The Shepherd case, for instance, went back to the administrative court. Angela Fiennes Jimenez is the attorney who handles most of the administrative filings for Bloomington. Fiennes Jimenez says her goal is abatement, getting landlords to fix the problem.
I'm seeing these people either every 2 weeks or every week to make sure that the abatement's getting done, not only for their own lives, but for the lives of the community around them.
Some of the same types of violations keep cropping up.
We've had bed bugs. We have had mold, actually, inside refrigerators and outside of kitchens where they haven't had appropriate air and there are older units.
A few years ago, bed bugs were such a common problem that tenants who attended administrative hearings in the Bloomington City Council chambers occasionally, unwittingly, carried the bugs on their clothing. After the council chambers had to be fumigated, the city decided to no longer hold bed bug cases in council chambers. They are now held at the Bloomington Police Headquarters. Fiennes Jimenez says bedbug cases have declined in recent years. Roaches and rodents are still problems. She recalls one landlord's property.
That particular individual, it was a rental of a single-family home, and he had so many rats that the inspector could see the rats running across the windows.
City inspectors dubbed it the Ratatouille House. The city eventually got the rats out. Gail Price, the Bloomington housing inspector, says there are several other cases that end in compliance.
I had a tenant thank me profusely. She said she'd been living in that apartment for years and never not had roaches. She said the owner would spray periodically, you know, just whatever you can buy on your own, and do a treatment to keep her happy. But until we came in and we saw it through, that was great. That's a quality of life that, you know, that makes the job so worth it.
She and other housing officials, like Community Development Director Dave Briner, acknowledge the current system is not perfect. But they say it provides enough checks and balances that tenants living in dire conditions can get help.
The legal process is our best friend. Sometimes it operates slowly, but it truly is our best friend in the long run. The judges start to recognize who are frequent flyers here, who are the problem landlords.
Dave Briner says his hope is that with consistent oversight, the landlords who have chronic violations will either do a better job with their properties or else get so annoyed they'll take their business elsewhere. I'm Judy Valente.
Tomorrow, in part four of the investigative series, Landlord v. Tenant, Judy Valente explores the difficulty tenants face in bringing a case against a landlord. And you'll hear from one landlord who is frequently cited for rental housing violations, but considers herself a champion of low-income renters. That's tomorrow during Sound Ideas on GLT on 89.1 FM, WGLT.org, and GLT, Bloomington Normal's Public Media.